Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims and joining us this morning, Elisha Reinick and Julie Miller with Therapet. Good morning. Great to have you with us.
Hi,
good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Therapet, been around since 1994. Not the first show we've done with your agency. We've done several. First one for Elisha.
Yes.
You're kind of new on the job.
I am.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first of all, let's go over some of the basics. What is Therapet? A little bit of mission, history, background, who you are, what you do.
Okay. So Therapet was founded in 94. An occupational therapist from Dallas was here giving a talk at what's now Encompass Health. And everyone there was so interested, they asked, do you know anyone who would come to Tyler and help us get this going? And she said, sure, I'll come. And so she moved to the Tyler area, and that's when Therapet was born here. And then we were incorporated as a 501c3 just a few years after that.
Alrighty.
So 26 years now.
26 years now. And you provide animal-assisted therapy in East Texas. And for anyone who's new to Therapet, that's different from, let's just say, animal visitation. Animal visitation works in a lot of venues, a lot of situations, but that's not what you do. You do animal-assisted therapy, more of an intensive approach, as I understand it.
It is, and we do visitation as well, but therapy is one of the things we do at Encompass Health, for example, and that's when the occupational therapists, the PTs, are using the animals in therapeutic modalities. So they're setting goals that the patients need to reach, whether it's physical, mental, also ends up being emotional as well, and they're able to meet those goals more quickly by the use of our animals.
Mm-hmm. What kind of patients do you work with? I guess people who've had strokes, just different types of trauma, things like that?
Yeah,
we work with patients who've had strokes, head injury, perhaps a spinal cord injury. Maybe they've had surgery that they're recovering from, that they got weak in the hospital. I'm sure we're taking care of patients who are recovering from, you know, bad infections and things like that. So, you know, you get really weak when you've been very sick or in an intensive care unit. And at the rehab hospital, you get to work on your goals. And a therapy dog's a great way to motivate you to reach those goals.
Mm-hmm. A therapy dog or a therapy cat, or in your case, one therapy cockatoo named Cuddles.
That's true.
And different types of animals can be used for this. Dogs and cats, the most common, I guess. But it's interesting, some of the different ones that have popped onto the radar for a pretty good while. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, Elisha. You're new since we did our last show. You came on the job earlier this year?
In March, mm-hmm. About a week before COVID hit. So I've joked with our group, I accidentally brought COVID to Therapet.
Oh my gosh.
I know, oops. But it's been wonderful. And I actually was involved with Therapet through my prior job at UT Health Jacksonville. So I was the hospital liaison there, and that's how I got acquainted with Therapet, and then it was just a natural transition. It merges patient care and my love of animals perfectly. So I have a lot of passion for our organization.
And you are the executive director of
Yes.
Therapet. And Julie, I know we've had you on the show before, but a little bit about you, just kind of for review.
Sure. I'm a nurse. History has been critical care as my background. But I'm a founding volunteer with Therapet, so I've been there since that very first seminar that was held where we said, hey, let's do this. And so I've been involved for 26 years and mm-hmm. helped establish a lot of the guidelines that we follow for our hospitals and patient safety.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to miss a trick here. You brought Phoebe with you. You're not going to hear Phoebe today because she's very well trained, as are all your animals. She's very quiet. But I can tell you that it wouldn't be the same if Phoebe, your therapy dog, we're not here with us today, so welcome Phoebe.
Yeah, welcome Phoebe. She's sleeping.
Okay. Is Therapet a national organization?
No, we have a national impact, but we are just local to East Texas, just serving East Texas.
Alrighty, and you work in the Tyler Smith County area, and also as far away as I believe you've done some work in the Beckville ISD.
Yes.
You work in Jacksonville, and of course you're open to other opportunities around East Texas, but based in Tyler, and just an East Texas organization. But you say you've had a national impact, and tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We've done seminars nationally where we've helped establish programs in other states. I've also published articles and a chapter in a textbook. The most recent article I've published is in the National Journal for Nursing Management. That article is available online for free, so if anyone wanted to pull it up. They could look for it. It's called Animal-Assisted Interventions, Impact on Patient Outcomes and Satisfaction. And if you're a nurse listening, it also comes with free continuing education credit and is available free online.
Oh, my goodness. And a cherry on top, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Talking to Elisha Reinick and Julie Miller with Therapet on In Focus this morning, I'm John Sims. And you talk about national impact. I want to refer people to your website, therapet.org. Very easy to remember. And you've helped establish programs in other parts of Texas, along with Arizona, Florida, Hawaii, Louisiana, Montana, New Mexico, New York, and Virginia. So from East Texas, Tyler, Texas, you have really, you've had a national impact. And that's something that never fails to impress me every time we do a show with you guys. So certainly looking forward to learning more about you as we move through the show this morning. Who provides the services? I understand it's 100% volunteer as far as actually providing the services, although you you do have two staff for administration.
Yes, we do. We're 100% volunteers, other than the two staff members, myself and Rebecca Roberts is our wonderful operations manager at Therapet. Mm-hmm. If you call the office, you'll end up probably talking to her, and she can help with any question you have.
All righty. Volunteers train their dogs on their own time and on their own dime. There must be a reason that you have that policy.
It's actually just the simplest way to do it is because, you know, as a volunteer, you know your own animal and you know the interaction. And volunteering with our animals is a team effort. The human and the animal have to have a relationship in order to safely provide the care that we do for our patients and clients across East Texas.
Mm-hmm. More contact information here. Therapet is located at 225 East Amherst, Suite 200. If you remember when the Old English Village was still the Old English Village instead of Broadway Town Center, that's where it is, right there on Amherst Street, Amherst Drive, I guess, actually. Hours of op, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, closed Saturday and Sunday. Give them a call at 903-535-2125. Email is info@therapet.org, and the website is therapet.org. And we will more than likely repeat some or all of that throughout the course of the show. Now, let's just kind of get down to the basics here. What is animal-assisted therapy? We talked about how it's different from animal visitation, although you do that as well. But let's explain how it's different, how it's more intensive, and the kind of results you're able to get from it.
Okay. Well, the therapy part of it is different from visitation. Visitation is a little bit more simple. So that's when we're heading into hospital settings, for example. We walk into the patient room, and if the patient wants to visit with the therapist, then they get to interact, pet them, and you really can see the emotional results from that. You walk into a patient's room, they're stressed. Often you can see the pain on their face from what's mm-hmm. going on with their health challenges in the hospital. And you'll see a smile creep across their face and their furrowed brows relax a little bit. And it's almost like they leave their hospital bed for just a few mm-hmm. moments when they're with that dog. So that's the visitation aspect. The therapy aspect is where, you know, we're at Encompass Health with the rehab table. So that's what we mentioned earlier, where you're with possibly stroke patients. And the goals have been set for trying to improve with, you know, movement. It could be as simple as just having the dog lie there and using a brush to brush their hair. They don't realize they're actually improving their physical abilities by doing that. It's like they zone out for a second and they're just with the dog. And we also have little hair clips they can use for dexterity improvement to put in the dog's hair, and standing, if that's a goal, they're having trouble standing from whatever their physical issue is at that point, and they'll stand longer at the table with the dog there than if there wasn't a dog there.
Okay, so these dogs are actually trained to what degree? And I guess this is—I'm sure it'll vary from case to case. But to what degree is the dog or the cat or the other animal actually involved in, I guess, what you might call a proactive way in the therapy? They don't just lie there and let people put things in their fur. I mean, there's got to be a lot more to it than that.
There is. There's a lot of obedience training that goes into this, and making sure that the animal will respond to whatever command we ask them to. And if the therapist needs the animal in a certain position, say they need to sit in on the table, but they need to put their paws up on a block so that their upper head is elevated maybe 3 inches, and then the patient has to work on an angle to brush the dog from head to tail while the dog is sitting, we have to make sure that they have the obedience in order to stay in that position for whatever period of time the therapist needs the patient to do that. That requires an intense amount of training. And then we also test for temperament in order to make sure that the animal will tolerate that stressful situation. Because for an animal, you know, that's not normal for them, and that's a stressful situation. And we want to make sure that their behavior will respond appropriately to what the therapist and patient need.
Mm-hmm. Julie Miller and Alicia Reinick with Therapet, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. From what you're telling me so far, it sounds like it's really on the patient to do the heavy lifting, but the therapy animal has to be, as you say, very carefully trained, able to take orders and respond in a way that's going to maximize the patient's ability to really heal himself or herself.
That's true.
Okay. You really have to see it for yourself to really get a feel for what's happening. And unfortunately, we don't have any video capability on this show, but take my word for it. And again, a little bit later on in the show, we'll get you some contact information so maybe you can learn a little bit more about it on your own. Now, what facilities does Therapet serve? And I know with COVID-19 right now, at one time you were serving a number of different facilities, and you've kind of had to pull back on that some. There are at least 3 hospitals and 1 school that you're working with right now.
So, and I do want to mention Therapet Phoebe's with us, and she just woke up from her little slumber and is at the mic with us now.
Thank you.
Getting some pets. So,
if she wants to throw in a quick bow wow.
You may hear her shaking.
Yes, we just did.
She's here. So, yes, back when COVID started, we just had really deep discussions with the 15 facilities that we partner with. And, you know, the difficult decision was made that we needed to take a little time out because of COVID. You can't send a dog in without their human. And so there were a lot of risks with exposing our human volunteers to COVID. So, but we are just now back. We've got a lot of new personal protective equipment measures in place. We'll be wearing goggles and face shields. That's new to our experience with volunteering. And just last week, we were able to go back to Christus Trinity Mother Frances Hospital in Tyler, Encompass Rehab Facility, and Boshears as well. So then we're also looking at a couple of other facilities that we're going to try to get back into in the next couple of weeks. That's Lilly Memorial Russell Library in Lindale and the East Texas Crisis Center we're talking to.
All right. And you mentioned Boshears. That's the special needs school in Tyler. That's part of the Jones Boshears campus on the west side of town, for anyone who doesn't know. Now, how can someone request Therapet services?
Well, they go to our website, therapet.org, and there are forms there that they can fill out just to request our services, explain what their needs are, what the number of times per week they might be interested in having us there, whether they need therapy function or visitation function. Read function as well as another thing we can talk about. Reading education assistance dogs is another facet of our service.
Okay. Well, what I guess that's either kind of a new one on me or I've got a short memory. Tell us how that works.
That's one of the things that we do at Beckville ISD. We also do at the Lilly Memorial Library in Lindale. And so it's proven that if a child falls behind in reading, they have a very low chance in ever catching up. And so the stress goes down, the peer pressure goes down if they're reading to a dog as opposed to a teacher, an adult, or classmates. So we see really drastic improvement in their literacy ability if they have one-on-one time reading to the dog.
Mm-hmm. We also do that at East Texas Crisis Center.
And East Texas Crisis Center as well.
Okay. Yes. What I'm hearing, and I guess this is kind of where the animal-assisted therapy dovetails with the visitation to such a large extent, just the presence of the animal just sounds like it's such a vital factor in the work that you're doing.
It really is. It's not just the physical presence, but it's the emotional presence that
right.
the dog has. Because it connects with our emotional selves in our humanness, and it draws out different things. So it's more than just the physical presence, and it really does make an impact on stress levels, anxiety, sense of well-being, motivation to heal, and resilience.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is there a waiting list for your services?
Well, a big part of that is we need more volunteers. Another unfortunate and sad part about what we do is that our animal volunteers pass away and retire. So we've already lost seven this year to passing away. So it takes a lengthy amount of time to train a dog, and then they're not with us forever. So we constantly are needing to just get more animals into the program, and that's a long process we can talk about as well. But it's important to also have volunteers without animals, and and it's even more so needed now with COVID. We're going to need people going into the facilities and having eyes on things to make sure hand sanitizer is being used more diligently than ever, making sure masks are worn, social distancing, you know, when we can, those kind of things.
Talking to Alicia Reinick and Julie Miller with Therapet and Tyler, and it's netcast far and wide across East Texas and with a lot of influence nationwide. You know, again, repeating, you've been responsible for helping start up programs in a number of other states around the country. I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. We talked a little about how a dog becomes a therapist, but maybe if we can kind of go through some of the different specific things that a dog or cat or cockatoo needs to go through to become a therapist.
Sure. So the very first thing that a volunteer or a potential volunteer needs to think about with their dog is, do they have the right temperament? Are they friendly? Are they happy with people? Do they accept a lot of different situations and then that are not normal for an animal? You know, one of the places that I like to train is in the big box hardware stores, because they'll allow the animals in and there's a lot of noise in there and things that go on. So basically the first thing is obedience training, and we require that they train to what is known as the American Kennel Club's canine good citizen test, which is an advanced obedience skills that they get to. After that, we require that they take a Therapet skills class, which is training to learn how to work around the equipment in the hospital and the different situations they will encounter in the hospital. Once that's done, they do a veterinary screen, and then they also schedule a temperament test. Once they've passed the skills class, they schedule a temperament test where they are tested on their teamwork between the human and the animal and all of those skills that they have recently learned. And during that test, it's usually a very stressful exam because it's done in a hospital setting. And we see how an animal will behave potentially when they start volunteering. And if they pass that, then they're accepted into our apprenticeship, which usually lasts between 30 and 90 days, maybe a little bit longer depending on what the animal needs. But we provide a human mentor to the volunteer and animal team in order to get them acquainted with what they're going to be doing and feeling more comfortable in any of the settings that we do where we volunteer. You know, you mentioned our national impact. One of the other places that I'd like to mention is that we have volunteered for several years with the American Association of Critical Care Nurses National Teaching Institute, which is their main conference every year, where we have provided a booth and provided educational training to the nurses who attend that conference. And there's usually between 6,000 and 7,000, maybe 8,000 nurses that attend that conference. So we are making a national impact in that way, too.
If someone doesn't have a dog, can they volunteer? I'm sensing a yes here.
Yes, they can volunteer with a cat. We are working on our training for the cats. We have one volunteer who is just a cat whisperer, and she's done an amazing job, but she's going to help us work on what we can do to help other people train their cats. But we also need volunteers without animals. We need them in the hospital, as Alicia just mentioned, and we also need them in the office many times to help us with our fundraising activities.
Okay. Other ways people can support Therapet: financial donations. That's kind of a no-brainer. Every nonprofit needs that financial donation. But some of the other things they can do, and as we talk about this, we'll be getting into some of the specific fundraising opportunities that have just recently passed and also that are coming up soon.
Yes, one of the ways that you can really help us get the word out is follow us on Facebook and Instagram. If you're on social media, just type in Therapet, Animal Assisted Therapy, it should pop up, and just follow us. And the more followers we have, the more you can see what we're doing and share what's impactful to you with your friendship base as well. And that helps spread the word with what we're doing too. Of course, volunteering. We also, in addition to the things Julie mentioned, volunteers without animals are needed for like our fundraising when we're stuffing envelopes and addressing. And we also have a healer costume. It's TheraPet Healer. And so if you have any mascot experience or just want to acquire some, you can be healer. We also need photographers to come in. We're always looking for good pictures for the grant requests that we put in. And so if you can be a volunteer and take good pictures while we're in service at the different facilities, that's a huge help as well.
Sure thing. As far as fundraisers, you got some big ones coming up. I understand you just wrapped up Totally Leashed, which was this year's COVID virtual version of Totally Unleashed, which is a big annual fundraiser for TheraPet. And in September, I believe you did the Stock the Bar fundraiser. I understand that was quite successful as
well. It was very successful. It was our fourth annual adventure with Stock the Bar, and we changed it up a little bit. We had multiple opportunities to win this year, and it was very well received. So look for information probably next summer for our fifth annual, and it will probably be bigger and better than it's ever been before.
As far as what's coming up in the very near future, actually this coming Monday, the Kendra Scott explain what that's all about.
So Kendra Scott is a really fun jewelry store, and Tyler is excited to welcome them to Tyler. And so we're going to partner with them Monday evening. So go to the Kendra Scott store from 4 to 7 o'clock.
That's in the Village at Cumberland
Village
Park.
Village at Cumberland Park, yes. And from 4 to 7, maybe get your Christmas shopping done early. Mention TheraPet at the register, and we will receive 20% of the proceeds from your purchase that evening. We'll also have an online window. So if you buy that day and into the 17th and enter the code, you'll find it on our Facebook page. We'll get 20% online as well.
Okay. Visiting with Alicia Reinick and Julie Miller from TheraPet, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. TheraPet.org is the website. They're at 225 East Amherst in Tyler. And you can call them at 903-535-2125. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. And, of course, it's okay for people to drop by and just visit and ask questions, right?
We would love for them to drop by. We also have a store up front, so you can buy the best bandanas, I think, that you can purchase anywhere for your dogs. Lots of different patterns and seasonal options there. We also have antlers for sale, different dog toys that the dogs are always excited to receive as well. So come see us.
There's some cat stuff too.
There are some catnip bubbles that I'm told are very exciting for the cats, so you can pick those up as well.
Yeah, well, that's what catnip does, I guess. Ask Tom and Jerry.
Exactly.
Okay, now December 1st, this is a big one. That's Giving Tuesday. Tell us about that and how TheraPet's involved with that.
Okay, so Giving Tuesday is a fairly new concept. It was started back in 2012, and it's always the Tuesday following Cyber Monday and Black Friday. So that's one way to remember it. So this year it falls on December 1st, and it's just a global initiative to try to bring community and organizations together. So it's a wonderful time to explore different nonprofits and organizations in your area and support them. And of course, we would love your support. So visit TheraPet.org. You don't have to wait until December 1st.
Okay.
You can give any time, and that would be hugely helpful to us.
Sure thing. And you're also going to have a presence at this year's Mistletoe and Magic, which I believe is scheduled for the first week in December.
It is. Mistletoe and Magic is set to happen from December 2nd through the 5th. TheraPet always has a double booth. If you've ever been there, you've probably seen us in our booth on the corner. We're the same spot every year, and we'll have toys for sale. We'll have dogs there. So if you need to reduce your shopping stress, drop by our booth and meet the TheraPet that's on duty at that moment, and buy some Christmas toys for the pets in your life.
Mm-hmm. Get your Christmas bandanas for your pets.
And
as
your
well.
Christmas bandanas, yes.
The fun never ends. And for the uninitiated, Mistletoe and Magic been going on for many years. The Junior League of Tyler's big annual holiday shopping extravaganza and fundraiser. That'll be at Harvey Convention Center December 2nd through 5th, and
yes,
you will be there. We got a few minutes left in the show, and Julie, I want to give you a chance to tell a couple of stories. After 26 years of this, you've got some great stories to tell, and I don't know if you can think of one that kind of rises to the top of the heap, maybe a favorite story for you to tell. Go ahead.
John, that's so hard. I have so many stories, but I think back to one of my very first therapy dogs, PETA, and she was a yellow lab who was very intuitive to what the patients needed. And there was a patient who had had a stroke and was unable to speak. And the therapist said to the patient, this dog loves squirrels. And if you can say the word squirrel, this dog will bark for you. And I thought to myself, this patient is never going to be able to say that. This patient can't even say yes or no. How in the world is this patient ever going to say squirrel? And this patient was so determined that I just remember her face and how she got her lips just formed around that word, and out came squirrel. And I almost cried, and my dog looked at her like she wasn't really sure that she'd said the word correctly. And so under my breath, I just said squirrel, and my dog went woof, woof, woof. And the patient's face lit up, and she just kept saying it then, squirrel, and it kept getting better and more clear, and it was so impactful. I've seen a patient in a coma who had she'd been in a car wreck, and the physicians and nurses weren't really sure if she was going to survive. She was in the intensive care unit, and her family was waiting around the bed for her to wake up, and they were very anxious. And I said, does she like animals? And they said, yes, she has a dog at home. And I said, would it be okay to lay a dog in her bed? And so we laid another one of my therapists, whose name was Splotch, on the bed. And I'm a nurse, so I took her hand and I laid it on the back of the patient, and I said, I brought a special friend here for you to visit. This is a dog, and I would like to see you start scratching the dog. And just tiny little movements of her fingers started to happen, and she started to scratch the dog. Well, within 10 minutes, she was doing full head-to-toe stroking of the dog from head to tail with that arm. Her family was in tears. I was in tears. The nurses and doctors were in tears. And the really, really cool thing was the follow-up on that was that she woke up from her coma the next morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello, Phoebe. I know you hear the stress in my voice. You're a good girl.
Girl. Well, I kind of, Phoebe may be better at picking up on things like that than I am, but for those of us, for our listeners who can't see what's going on, Julie is petting Phoebe right now and getting a little bit of therapeutic activity of her own, I assume.
Yep.
And animals, you don't have to have had a stroke or be a medical patient or anything. The TV show titled Those Amazing Animals, it wasn't come by lightly, was it?
No, it wasn't. especially even during this time of COVID, I think a lot of people have realized the importance of animals in our lives and their ability to keep us less stressed.
Alicia Reinick and Julie Miller with TheraPet, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Website is therapet.org. And about maybe 2 or 3 minutes left in the show, something that I caught on your website that interests me, as you go about the business of starting up programs around East Texas and around the country, actually, if you're interested, your agency, your hospital, your school is interested in working with TheraPet, they can schedule a seminar. And tell us a little bit about what happens at the seminars.
Sure. We've done seminars both locally and nationally where we bring anyone who's interested, volunteers, therapists, nurses, anyone who really wants to start a program, and we teach them the correct and safe way to implement these programs. One of the things that sets TheraPet apart is that we were started with all healthcare professionals, so we have a very healthcare professional safety bent. We look at infection prevention very closely, we look at patient safety very closely, and we look at quality outcomes very closely. So we teach those things to other people who want to implement programs. Most therapy animal programs are run with the volunteer focus in mind. Our focus is always at the heart of the goal and the safety and outcomes of the patients.
All right. As we move through the COVID pandemic and acknowledge all the uncertainties, but the necessity to move on with services that people need, whether there's COVID-19 or not, what do you envision for TheraPet? Are things looking pretty good for you right now under the circumstances?
We have very deep roots in East Texas, and we're thankful and just have wonderful supporters that are volunteer-based and also just people who have seen the dogs in action, whether it be with a family member in the hospital or rehab setting. And so they've put eyes on the value that we bring to East Texas. It's very unique, and we're blessed to have TheraPet in this area. Mm-hmm. But it's been a rough year, not just for us. All nonprofits are really struggling.
Yeah.
And so, we're behind on fundraising. We did have to cancel our big in-person event. That's why we pivoted and did some other things, and have had a lot of success and blessing from that as well. So, But we need your help. We need your support. We need your volunteer hours and just you sharing the word about us.
Okay. And that about wraps it up. But let me kind of go ahead and repeat a few things that you may have missed along the way. We've been talking to Julie Miller and Alicia Reinick with Therapet. Number is 903-535-2125 and the website therapet.org. Be sure to check that out. Alicia Reinick, Julie Miller with Therapet. Great show this morning. Thank you so much for sharing what you do, and good luck with everything you're going to be doing.
Thank you, John. We appreciate you.
You bet. Julie and Alicia with Therapet, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.